yell.
Can you hear me over there?
No, you don't hear?
My battery's still alive.
Okay, that's good. Okay, I'm going to try to talk louder. Maybe maybe you can sit over here. It's a good place to sit. It's a chair. Sorry. This place is where I'm not to be comfortable. I was here before. And these are ashes over here behind you. The whole place is filled with ashes, not just the crematorium. The Torah, I don't have, it's very hard, there are no words from such a thing. You know, these are the nightmares that some of us here grew up with. Careful, because it's a holy place. It's a very holy place. Here, and when we're going to go to Auschwitz, Birkenau, it's a holy place. Manora Hamokam is there. Is it possible to walk away from such a place with a song, with optimism, with simcha? So let's just, this will take just 5 minutes, it's in English, let's just read together, page 21. It goes on the pasuk at the beginning of the era, but we're not going to get to the end of the third, the Rebbe ties it all together. Put to page 21 in the Simchas. Whenever, the reason that I called the shul Eish Kodesh is because when you can't find words, when I couldn't find words, so I would find them in Eish Kodesh. I'd find the words in Eish Kodesh. There are no words here. Some of the Chevra said is that over there, on the bus, to prepare, what's the way to prepare? There's only by this much that we're not, that we weren't finished off over there. This much. Svaradim by this much. With Ashkenazim, this much. So there's a Maidanik HaTorah over here in Ve'era, January 17th, 1942, as you can see. Things were already not good. Not good. The Rebbe, of course, was teaching in Warsaw. Not here, he's teaching in Warsaw. Say that it's going on the beginning of Ve'era. We'll go to the Rebbe's Torah, the following is Torah. So the Rebbe begins to explain. After the pasuk of Vayidabru l'Kim HaMoshe, Vayir Alam Yashem. Vayir Avram, Yitzchak v'Yaakov, he tells him back, Shmi Hashem l'Nadav v'Lahem. Okay, Nem b'Lev Neyitzchak, Ni Hashem, Vayitzchak v'Yaakov, and so on. Psalti, Vayitzchak. The following is taught in the Gemara American. Rabbi Rashila, in the name of Rabbi Matana, Sheikh Shmuel said, there's a magrefa, got cut off a little bit this, for just that. There's a magrefa, which is a shovel-shaped musical instrument in the Beis HaMikdash that had 10 holes. It's a strange instrument. My grave, a shovel, shaped like a shovel, had 10 holes, each of which produced 10 different kinds of music. A Tana taught there was 1 cubit long, 1 cubit broad. From it projected a handle with 10 holes. Each hole produced 100 kinds of sounds, amounting to the whole to 1,000 tunes. Rashi over there explains that the magrefa was a sort of trowel or spade used as a daily temporal, in a daily temporal ritual of Trumas Hadashah. So everybody knows that the day would begin, Beis HaMikdash would be clearing away of the ashes of all of the korbanos that had been burning overnight. We say it every day in Shabbos. So Rashi says that the magrefa was a sort of a travel, an instrument that's being used for the daily ritual of Trumas Hadashah, in which the ashes on the sacrificial altar were gathered, heaped, and removed. Need to understand, why does an implement used for moving ashes need to sing? It's a shovel. It's a shovel to move the ashes from the mizbeach. The whole gedur and halacha of that avoda, what kind of an avoda was it? Trumas Hadashah. It was the beginning. It was the beginning of the day. In Beis HaMikdash, was to remove the ashes from the mizbeach. So the Rebbe asks, what is this shovel that has holes in it and music comes out from it? And not just to sing, but to sing 1,000 songs, which is something that other instruments cannot do. It's obviously something very mysterious and deep and miraculous about this strange shovel, this instrument. In fact, from other references to the Magrefa and the Mishnah and Talmud, we learn that this instrument was so loud, sound could be heard as far away as Yericho. It was able to be heard, the music that came from the shovel to clean, move the ashes from the mizbeach was so loud that it could be heard all the way in Yericho, from Yerushalayim to Yericho. Which is Chazal's way of saying something that could be heard everywhere in the world. The Baalei Taisus and the commentary to the Gemara argue with Rashi, contending that the magrefa is a tympanum and not a shovel. Let us try to understand the meaning according to Rashi, who says the magrefa is a shovel. What is the significance of a shovel that can produce the sound of 1,000 voices? Why did it produce this sound when it was shoveling ashes? What can we learn from this teaching? The Mishnah teaches on the pilgrimage by the Regolim, by the pilgrimage festival, the Regolim, the daily rite of removing the ashes from the altar was not performed. Normally, as I just said, normally that's how the day would begin. But by the Shalosh Regolim, the ashes were not removed from the Mizbeach. Why? Because the Gemara says, because they beautified the altar. They would say, Yoifilach Mizbeach, Yoifilach Mizbeach. But the Mizbeach was so beautiful because of all the ashes that were on. Because it was a Shalosh Regolim, so it was very, very busy. A lot of karbanos. So because there were so many sacrifices, so many karbanos, the Mizbeach was heaps of ashes. So you would say, Adarabba, you need a real serious crew to clean the ashes. The Gemara says that the Davka didn't clean the ashes. Vayifilach Mizbech, because they beautify the altar. The ashes were allowed to pile up in order to decorate and beautify the altar, so that all might see. That many sacrifices have been offered. Let us try to understand what this teaches us. Surely everything that was done in the Beis HaMikdash was done for a reason. We need to understand why the ashes of burnt offerings and not some other display were used as evidence of the great number of sacrifices that were offered up on the regalim. Yeah, cleaner and nicer. A nicer way of doing that, of indicating the number of korbanos and being proud of all of the offerings the Jews bring. There could be other ways of doing that than heaping the ashes on the mizbech and leaving them there. The explanation is this. Of course, you're keeping in mind who's the person who's saying this. And when was he saying this? All sacrifices brought upon the altar were analogous to the in place of his son, Tachas Benai, explicitly noted regarding Avraham Avinu, who sacrificed an ayil, a ram, Tachas Benai, in place of his son Yitzchak. Anyone seeking atonement for sins, or those bringing burnt offerings as gifts, were required to offer up their souls as a sacrifice to God. Really, they would have to give up their lives. The Torah provided the sacrificial rite, korbanos, as a way of offering an animal in place of one's own soul. The ritual heaping of the ashes of the animal sacrifices showed that only after the sacrificial rites had been performed, when the accumulated ashes were actually seen, could there be any real appreciation of the magnitude of the sacrifice? This is also the case when Jews departed God's will, because it arose thus in the divine thought that they would be brought the sacrifices to Him. Blessed be He. So it would be said that it is not only the beautiful ashes of the Mizbeach, and not only when they are animal sacrifices, but when Jews are offering up their own souls, and Jews are being killed because they're Jews. But it is only after they have departed that we can appreciate their greatness in quantity and quality. I reminded some of the Chevra of the story that I told a few weeks ago in Shul about the Skvera Gabbai Shayong Zechon Levrach, and how he insisted on putting the matzahs, you remember? He insisted on being the one that would, it was the hardest job in the matzah bakery, was putting the matzahs there into the oven. And he was doing it all the years, even when he was old, until finally he was a Shayach. And the Chassidim for a long time wanted that he should stop. Finally, it was just recently, a few years ago, he died a few years ago, it was recently that he had to stop. And the young guys took over, and then, but Reb Shaya insisted on sitting next to the, standing by the oven. And the guys were putting the matzahs in, taking them out. And the Chassidim were begging him, Shai, this is not a good place to stand. Quite a, you know, they get very nervous, you get in the way, number one. Number two, it's very hot over there. He's an old man. It's very uncomfortable. He likes to watch the matzah, so there are other things to watch. He wouldn't move. They couldn't move him. But finally, somebody got it out of him. I don't know if he had spoken to others about this before. One of the Chevra just told me an amazing thing, I'll tell you in a second, but he said that he was a Sonderkommando. He was one of his, what he did for a while in the concentration camp of Shai was that he had to take the piles, bodies from the ovens, from the mizbeach, and to clear out the bodies, the ashes. It was the worst job. And he said that all of the years, the only nechama that he had was that when he would, every matzah that he put in, he would see one of those neshamas. He said, because when he was putting these Jews into the oven, he had to. He said he saw friends and relatives, Jews, and all of the years he was haunted by the faces that he saw, the eyes, the faces that he saw looking at him. And the only nechama that he has all of the years is being able to think that each month is another neshama, except they come out of the oven. We do mitzvahs with them. One of the chevra told me that his wife, just now when we were walking into the place, that his wife's grandfather, just before after all the years, he just blurted out that he was also, he had such a job. He never told, it seems he never told the family. Imagine nowadays, if when you were in third grade, if the teacher told you, "I don't like the way you wrote your homework, you already have therapy for 40 years." And, you understand. So, the Mizbeach, the beauty of the Mizbeach through every setting is not only with animals, it's the Jews. In the past, when they were with us, when these Jews were with us, even though we treasured and protected them like the pupil of our eye, the spirit in our body and soul, and as much as we rejoiced and delighted in them, including our children, our family, and friends, we did not really know how to appreciate them. We could not know how good things were when they were here with us. Now that they are missing, may the merciful one protect us. We can see plainly how very much we missed them. The heart yearns for them, and the pain will not be comforted except for the words of Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Kach olam machshava lefanav." So did it arise in the thought before him. That we're able to sing Ani Mam in such a place. Plus, it's not such a chokhmah that the Jews who were there sang Ani Mam. My mother, she should be well with it. My mother was online to go in. She heard singing like that. Because Jews believe that Kach Olam Machshava Lefanav. Like we learned earlier that Hashem has machshavas. Kach Olam Machshava Lefanav, the higher. So Moshe asked of Hashem, "You have shown me Rabbi Akiva's Torah, now please show me his reward." Everybody knows the Gemara. Turn around, Hashem commanded Moshe, and Moshe turned around. So what was the reward of this great tzaddik of Akiva? Moshe turned around and saw them weighing Rabbi Akiva's flesh in the slaughterhouse. This is the Torah and its rewards. The Torah is Uschar. Is this the reward for keeping Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu asked. Silence. Spoke Hashem. Silence. Shtait. Kach olam machshava lefanav. That's why really here in this place, and we're going to be tomorrow in Birkenau. There really is nothing to say. This silence. Now the Rebbe comes back to my great strange musical shovel for the ashes. The ritual shovel, the magrefa, which was specifically made for moving the ashes of the sacrifices on the altar, based on Mikdash, resounded with loud music. Page 23. Just give me a few seconds. The purpose of all the, so what's the music? The purpose of all the music and singing in the Beis Hamikdash is to raise a clamor on high in heaven, to make a noise in Shammai. The music was for God to hear, as it is written, "You go to war, you shall sound the staccato on the trumpet, the chatzitzes. You will then be remembered before God your Lord, before Hashem. You will be delivered from your enemies. Days of rejoicing on your festivals, and on your new moon celebrations, you shall sound the note with the music by the offerings is bring us to a remembrance of the current of Nasha. So it is not just we on earth who are moved by the ashes remaining after the sacrifices have risen up on high. It's not only we here who are still alive, who are alive, the Rebbe says, was so broken by the murder of our families and our family and friends, who missed them so terribly, and who are now able to see their beauty more than we did when they were alive. But the song goes up to Shammai. In heaven too there's a similar heightening of appreciation. What people were unable to achieve during their lifetime, they can achieve now on high by arousing an awakening in heaven of the profoundest mercy and salvation for the Jewish people immediately and without delay. So Rebbe was talking about the ashes on the Mizbeach and the song that was lifted up by Hashem. And the beauty of the ashes that the Jews were sacrificed on the Mizbeach. So man nara hamokam hazeh. It's a horrible, the word nara means horrible. But it's also a very, very holy place, a very awesome place. Because everybody here knows what the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah. Loma Toikin Rosh Hashanah, Shofar Shel Ayin. Why in Rosh Hashanah do we make music with the Shofar Shel Ayin? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tikru Lufanai B'Shofar Shel Ayin. Hashem says, blow the Shofar of the Ayin. They should ask for the Hamakedas Yitzchak and Achim. So I will be reminded, Kibyach, of the Akedah of Yitzchak ben Avraham, of Yitzchak Avinu. Umala ani aleichem, kilo akadatim atzvachem lefan. I will consider it as if you also went onto the Akedah before me, onto the Mizbeach before me. I have to admit that ever since I'm a little kid, when I first went out to Gemara Rosh Hashanah, I was always upset by it. I mean, I have a whole list of Gemaras I'm upset about them. I believe in everything. I'm religious. I try to be committed to this, and I can't hold my shoulder funny. But the reason that I never cared for the Gemara when I was a child, and it still troubles me as an adult, is that sof, the entire music of the Shofar and the big schus that we have to be remembered by Hashem. The Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, that's all we're talking about, is the Shofar should be remembered. So, Yitzchak Avinu was brought onto the Mizbech and he was never shechted. So you understand why the Gemara always bothered me. Yitzchak Avinu was never shechted. All the Gemara says is all that ever happened was ki'ilu he was shechted. Ki'ilu he was burned. It was an animal that was brought tachas b'noi. The whole Akedas Yitzchak was only almost. Was what almost could have happened to us. That's the whole Akedas Yitzchak. And from that Akedas Yitzchak, it's ki'ilu nishchat. And ki'ilu nisrat. Ki'ilu he was shechted. Ki'ilu he was burned. Ki'ilu the ashes are on the Mizbeah. So that when Hashem looks, it's ki'ilu the ashes of Yitzchak Avinu are on the Mizbeah. But the truth is, Rabbi Shalom, you know that they're not. Yitzchak came down and he was fine. Came a big person. Married a nice girl. My grandparents, Jeff's, Harry's, and some others who are here, they didn't come down tonight. They didn't come down from any Mizbeach. They didn't come down. It wasn't an Akeid, it was a Shrit Amamish. It was a Shrit Amamish. So Shofar, such a gewaltige a shofar is a gewaltige schuss. Every shofar is all of our tefillahs go up with the shofar. From what? From Kihilu? Because Yitzchak was almost shechted. He was almost burned. So Hashem has good imagination, and it's Kihilu, the ashes of Yitzchak Avinu are still on the Mizbeach, as also. Kihilu, Afarosh and Yitzchak is Munach Agav Mizbeach, the ashes are still on the Mizbeach. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but the evidence is that my grandparents' ashes are not Kihilu, they're Mamish on the Mizbeach. These are not fake ashes. The ashes that are still left in the ovens are not fake. I'm not talking here about an Akeda, I'm talking about a Shrita, about a Sreifa. So it's a simple Kal V'Chaimer, no? When I said this place is a holy place, I think it's a simple Kal V'Chaimer. Madach, the whole Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, that the whole world is fighting over. Nachon? Mm-hmm. The whole world is fighting over the Beis HaMikdash. Madach, the whole Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash comes from what? From a father who almost lost his child. The whole Kedusha of Yerushalayim of Beis HaMikdash. It's not a small thing. Comes from the Ke'ilu Nisra, Ke'ilu Nisra. The Ke'ilu, the Eifer, is Munach HaGav Mizbeach. So we could ask Hashem to look. These are not Ke'ilu, this is Mamash Seif, this is Shechitas. It happened here and all over the place. Much more where we're going tomorrow. Talking about Nakedas Yitzchak, a happy ending. What was the happy ending over here? That's why it's such a horrible place. These places are so horrible, but they're so holy. And when the Rebbe said that he brought this amazing raya from the shovel with the ashes on the Mizbeach, and Yayflach Mizbeach, the beauty of the Mizbeach, and a song would go up to Shemaim from this strange shovel, and it was heard all the way from Yishalayim to Yericho. It was heard, this music of the ashes being shoveled from the Mizbeach. It's already a long time since these ashes are blowing all over the place. There are more than 1,000 songs that were offered. There were 6 million songs, plus. What about the music of the survivors that you can't see? What about the music of the survivors, their music? What about their songs? What about their tekiyas? So we have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that if the Ke'ilu Nisra V'Nisra of Yitzchak and the Eifer that almost happened by Yitzchak Avinu, because it was an animal that was brought. If that was able to be boiled, such a thing as the Beis HaMikdash, and Kedushas HaMikdash, and Yerushalayim, so then, Alas Kama V'Kama, the time has already come that the songs that were sung by the Magreifus, of Rav Shaya, and other Jews, quite the shovel out of ashes. That those songs really make a tumult in Shemayim so many years. The Torah says that every single ash, like we were talking about yesterday, that every single ash is going to rise up. This is not going to be a tourist place. The goyim are going to be running from here. They're not going to be coming here with buses. Let's take a pittle, Pei Gimel, you know the pittle that say. I'll say, you can repeat it after me. Pei Gimel.
big, big clap to all the sunny soul. Big clap to all the sunny soul. We'll be careless in here. Kisha Havalena. Shem is Malay also. Elohim Aldo Milo. Alta Karash Alfish Koytel.
Elohim Aldo Milo.
Shem Vashem, Levadecha, Yel Yel.
Hashem Hashem, Ki Atashem Hashem.